In today's talk, I'd like to explore impulse control and critical or negative states of mind. As I've mentioned before, we pilots tend to have critical minds, which may serve us well in avoiding danger, but can also create a critical or judgmental attitude. Our internal drive to do a good job conditions us with a sort of expectation bias that everything we encounter needs to be analyzed, judged, rated, compared, and so on. Critical views, moods, and negativity can lead to stressful, ruminative thinking, difficulty in relationships, distractibility, and so on. An important point to understand about a critical or negative mind state is the reality of how it impacts the way we experience our world. A pilot's critical analysis of weather, mechanical problems, crew performance, and so on is necessary for the safe outcome of a flight, and that's appropriate. But it can also create a momentum of mind leading to autopilot patterns of thought and behavior that linger long after the flight. When this unnecessary, lingering negativity is in the driver's seat and we're just along for the ride, we bring all kinds of unpleasant baggage along with us. Problems at home can also create negative, critical, mental baggage that we bring with us to work. These internal triggers of negative momentum can carry over in both directions, work impacting home life and home life impacting work life. Our world is also full of external triggers, all vying for our attention, that can fuel or exacerbate negative mind states as well. Like dispatchers who think it's a good idea to send you to Philly with minimum fuel when thunderstorms are forecast. Or calls from crew scheduling when you're about to be released into days off. What about USA Today, Fox News, MSNBC, just to name a few? Negativity and critical mind states can creep up on us, and we probably won't even realize it or how it's impacting the way we perceive things. I wear glasses. Sometimes I'll be working in a wood shop, cutting and sanding on a project all day. At the end of the day, my glasses are covered with sawdust, and I had no idea. When I take the glasses off and can see the sawdust on the lenses, I'm immediately aware that my view or perception of the world has been getting worse all day. Once I see that, once I become aware that my perception has been distorted, I can't unsee it, and I take corrective action. I'm not going to simply put my dirty glasses back on. But even if I did put those dirty glasses back on, I'm now fully aware of how my view or perception is distorted. Meditation works in a similar way, revealing our view-obscuring sawdust of negative and critical mind states. And once you can see it, it's hard to unsee it, and you'll want to do something about it. Seeing requires untangling, which allows letting go. We probably wouldn't choose to spend our days off listening to a stranger arguing with his family. Yet we often get wrapped up in external triggers like TV that basically have the same effect. Minimizing external triggers, things that can fuel negative mind states, is a good idea. I haven't turned on a TV in my hotel room in years. That's not to say I don't keep up with current events. I have two apps on my smartphone for news that I only check a few times a day, Wall Street Journal and NPR. I can get both a conservative and liberal view on the news without excessive negativity, reactivity, and drama. Whether our triggers are internal or external, our mind state has a huge impact on our thoughts, actions, and experiences. If my wife is late leaving the house for an important meeting she'll likely have a mind state of feeling rushed, irritated, and impatient. Is this a good time to ask her if I have any clean underwear? Probably not. But is her sense of feeling rushed and irritated actually necessary? Is a stressful, unpleasant experience inherent in being late? Frequently, people carry around the added baggage of a critical, judgmental, or negative view of others without understanding that it's a knife that always cuts both ways. In other words, if I'm critical and judgmental of others, I'll also be critical and judgmental of myself. I won't do it on purpose, I'll do it on autopilot, and at some level, I'll probably feel crappy because of it. Suppose I see a morbidly obese person stuffing their face with pizza and then have a negative opinion about that person. That person's a slob. How can they do that to themselves? They lack self-control and so forth. Then we compare ourselves to them. I'm so much healthier. I have better self-control. I'd never let myself go like that, and so on. Then, later in the day, we sit down to eat pizza. We reflect a moment on the other pizza eater. We set the intention to only eat two pieces because we are so much better than them. We eat our two pieces and then we want more. Our internal dialogue, that is the team of rationalizing lawyers between our ears, kicks in. We deserve more pizza. It's the holiday season. Overeating is normal. I'm starting my diet next month, and so on. After the fourth piece of pizza, the inner critic takes over. I'm such a pig. How could I eat so much, especially when I said I wouldn't? I'm no better than that obese person. A lot of that inner dialogue and stress-producing negative autopilot response is generated by our momentum of mind. In the case of my wife, running behind schedule, is it possible for her to be in a hurry without feeling rushed or becoming irritated? After all, the experience of feeling rushed is being generated by concepts, ideas, and stories. That unpleasant, rushed feeling has little to do with the direct experience of what's actually going on. That's one of the benefits of untangling awareness from concepts and ideas. What about flying a jet? What's my conversation with the fuel-stingy dispatcher going to be like, especially if he disagrees with me? Is it possible for me to be discerning about all the things involved with flying a jet without developing a negative and critical mind state that spills over into my day-to-day life? The answer is a definite yes, but it takes practice. Discernment versus reactive, negative, autopilot thinking and behavior is a muscle that can be developed in the gym of meditation. It begins with the recognition, like the sawdust on my glasses, that a particular undesirable mind state is present. That recognition begins with checking in and becoming aware of the direct experience of what's happening in our body right now. Tension in the body, tension in the mind. Tension in the mind, tension in the body. Once I can see that, it's like taking off my dirty glasses, and I can do something about it. My earlier pizza example begins with a critical, judgmental, or negative mind state about another person, followed by an intention not to do the same thing as the person I had judged negatively. Then, I promptly did it anyway. This leads to a proliferation of self-judgmental thoughts, including the feeling that I just disappointed myself by not exercising impulse control. I'm judging myself because I just did something I was judging the obese person about. the knife cuts both ways. These negative mind states and the proliferation of critical thinking that follows aren't just limited to pizza. How about judging our own appearance, our performance in the simulator, our organizational skills, our seniority, our pay scale, our schedule, our company, our union, the FAA, and so on? Using non-critical discernment, we realize that many of these things indeed have room for improvement. But does the extra baggage of a negative mind state about them make things better or worse? I would never wake up in the morning and set the intention to have a negative attitude about everything I encounter. And yet, on autopilot, I sometimes do. I put on my sawdust-covered glasses, pick up my 75-pound mental backpack of a smartphone, stack my Samsonite of negativity on top of my Travel Pro of expectation bias, and I head out the door. And then I wonder, why am I having such a crappy day? The answer is simple: mass in motion, or momentum. Our ability to stop the insidious momentum of negative mind states begins with recognizing that a critical or negative mind state is present. And the problem is, negative mind states tend to obstruct our ability to observe them. Sometimes, recognizing the self-referential nature of all this comparative thinking helps. We all understand that if I think I'm better than someone else, I'm conceited. But if I think I'm less than someone, that's a conceit too. Even if I think I'm the same as someone, that's a conceit as well. Because it's all about me and comparing myself against other. That's the problem. It's the fuel that often adds momentum to negativity. We tend to get hooked or dragged into our self-referential comparative thinking in endless loops because I'm so right. How could they do this to me? And my team of inner lawyers agrees with me. I, me, my. But how do we interrupt this momentum once it's in motion? When we think about impulse control, we generally think about our ability to self-regulate the things we do. But what about self-regulation or impulse control with the things we think or believe? Like all that conceited thinking. Explaining to a beginning meditator the value of not scratching an itch is a really hard sell. But what we're actually talking about here is our ability to set an intention to cope with some physical discomfort by exercising impulse control in our mental gym. We're developing the muscle or the ability to recognize that something negative is arising in our direct experience. It seems counterintuitive, but not scratching the itch and exercising impulse control during meditation is the key to not picking up all that mental baggage we tend to carry around with us on autopilot. And what about that team of lawyers and the proliferation of thinking around the itch? Often, meditation goes like this. My forehead itches. I used to live on a sailboat. Too much time in the sun. What if it's cancer? Maybe it's a Zika mosquito. How much sick time have I used this year? Look at my mind go. Then I judge my meditation. I'm such a crappy meditator. If I was good at this, I wouldn't have all these thoughts. Wait a minute. I'm not supposed to judge my meditation. I'm such an idiot judging my meditation. And so it goes. In meditation, we're training ourselves to recognize this proliferation of thinking as just thinking, and not something we need to take so damn personally. We're also learning to be okay with a little physical discomfort. And with practice, This translates to an ability to be okay with mental discomfort regarding our impulses to think critical thoughts. It gives us the ability to ignore our inner team of lawyers. And that makes a huge difference in the amount of mental baggage we pick up. Because the same self-indulgent lawyers that want you to scratch the itch are trying to drag you into endless loops of stressful thought and conceit. In time, this practice gives us the ability to choose the mind states we value and let go of the ones we're better off without. In today's guided meditation, we'll work with impulse control, both physical and mental. Go ahead and settle into your meditation posture. Like yesterday, in today's meditation exercise, I encourage you to find what works best for getting started. Deep breathing exercise with counting, or simply checking in with an embodied experience of the breath. Take a few moments to do this now. Now, allow the breath to return to normal. Go ahead and sweep awareness through the length of your body, like panning with a flashlight. As you do this, remember to relax any tension you find. Can you establish an inclusive awareness of your whole body? Let go of contracted awareness or tunnel vision. Do you notice the impulse or a sense of urgency to move or scratch an itch? If so, just notice that. If awareness gets drawn into thinking, that's okay. Just notice that and come back to the breath as an anchor. Then, allow awareness to spread back out to include more of your bodily experience. If there's discomfort, can you be okay with that? It's just discomfort. No big deal. If there's a sense of urgency to move, can you just notice that? Relax any sense of urgency, like letting go of tension. If you notice an impulse or urgency, it may feel contracted. Being okay with it is open, more relaxed. Can you be curious about discomfort, impulse, or a sense of urgency? Try hanging out in that open, curious, inclusive awareness. If unpleasant things arise, just notice. Label them if it helps. Discomfort. Itch. Urgency. They come and go into and out of awareness. See if you can relax and open your awareness to include more of your physical experience. Things may be pleasant or not. That's okay. Is there a critical or judgmental mind state? Can you just observe that? Perhaps impatience. That's okay. It's just impatience. It comes and goes. Physical discomfort? That's okay. Perhaps mental discomfort? That's okay. It's just discomfort. It comes and goes. Pleasant sensations. That's okay. They come and go. Thinking. Recognize it. That's okay. Just notice it. Thinking. Come back to the breath. The breath in the body. Go ahead and practice for a few minutes with that broad, curious, inclusive awareness without being bothered by whatever comes up. I'll ring a bell at the end. as you go about your daily life, try being aware of or noticing when a negative, critical, or judgmental state of mind is present. How about a sense of urgency to check your smartphone or perhaps the news? Negativity and urgency bring tension along with them. If you can recognize that, you can do something about it. And when you can recognize it, you can relax and let it go. That's all for today. I hope you find this useful, and thanks for listening.